Chazar Zeichen Nishmas Bachri Ches L'Shagim Rav Yehudim Sech L'Shabbos Daf Mem Gimel. Gemara continues his conversation from the last Daf and says, Rav Yosef explains the reason why Rav Chista says it's also to put a keli underneath a chicken that's laying an egg on an incline, but he allowed to put a bowl over an egg that it lays on Shabbos. Are you using the keli both for a muktzadika thing? He says the difference is Rav Chista doesn't allow you to take a keli in a way and do something with it which will make the keli become usher to move. And when the egg falls into a keli becomes usher to move. And you just put it on top of the egg, so you can move it then. Therefore, it's mutter in that case. Abaye now asks from the same brice as it did before. First, the brice to the case of the barrel of tevel that broke. Ah, you're allowed to put a keli over there to catch the tevel that's coming out. The Gemara says over there, that's not shver because tevel is not really considered muktzah enough to make the keli also, because if someone's over the drabbonon and gives truma meiser on Shabbos, then the tevel is not muktzah. Therefore, it wouldn't make the keli muktzah in that way. Then we ask from the brice that says you're allowed to put a keli underneath a lamp to catch the sparks. And Rav Huna Bar Yeshua says sparks have no substance and therefore it doesn't make the keli also to be moved. Mari asks from the brisa that says you're allowed to move a bed or a bench to support a broken beam, which is muktzah. Mari answers you're only allowed to do it when the beam is being supported lightly so that it could be moved, the bed or the bench could be removed if desired. Mari asks from the brisa that says you're allowed to put a keli underneath a leak to catch the water. Mari says the brisa is talking about where the water is drinkable and therefore the keli does not become usur to be moved. Mari asks from a new brisa this time, it says you're allowed to put a basket on the ground so that birds can climb on and off of it. So you say you see you're allowed to move the keli. Mari says it's mutter to move that basket when the birds go off. And that's why you're allowed to move it there in the first place, because it doesn't become usher for the whole Shabbos to be moved. It's only usher while the birds are on it. Aya Brisa says that you're not allowed to move the basket even when the birds are not on it. Ravo says that Brisa is talking about where the birds were on the basket the entire Ben HaShemoshes, and therefore, since it was usher Ben HaShemoshes, it remains usher the entire Shabbos. Rabbi Yitzchak actually says you're not allowed to put like a bowl or a keli on top of an egg to protect it. He holds that a keli is only allowed to be moved for the sake of a non-mukta item. Mari asks all the brises we just mentioned above, just they allow moving of a keli from muktzah item. The Gemara says that's discussing where you need the place of the keli. It's tzarech m'kaymai. Once you have to move it because you need tzarech m'kaymai, you're allowed to move it wherever you want. That's where you're allowed to put it somewhere else and exactly where you need it, even though you're moving it in a way that's going to benefit a muktzah item. Aya Brisa says you're allowed to put a bowl over an egg to protect it. The Brisa is talking about, again, where you need the tzarech m'kaymai of the bowl. So once you move it, you're allowed to put it over to put the egg to protect it. Aya Brisa says you're allowed to put a mat over stones to protect the stones. Where it says Brisa is talking about where there's sharp stones that you can use for the bathroom, so they're not muksa. Aya Brisa allows you to put a mat over bricks. Again, the Brisa is talking about bricks that were left over from building. They can be used to sit on for reclining, so they're not muksa. Brisa says you're allowed to put a mat over a beehive in the summer and the winter, as long as you don't have a mind to trap the bees. Where it says the Brisa is talking about where there's honey in the hive and therefore it's not muksa. In the winter there's no honey, so it should be muksa. The Mara says even in the winter there are always these two honeycombs which are left in the hive. Else the bees can't live through the winter, so therefore there's always something there. That's why it's not muktzah. But since those honeycombs are always left here, l'chayr they're muktzah. The Gemara explains that we're talking about a case where he had in mind before Shabbos to eat his honeycombs. That's why it's not muktzah. The chiddush of the brisa is that even though he had in mind to eat the honey, still he can only put the mat over the beehive if he doesn't have in mind to catch the bees. Mari says, who does the brisa follow? Can't follow Rav Shimon because he doesn't hold a muktzah, but also can't follow Rabbi Yehuda because even if he doesn't have in mind to catch the bees, it should still be usher because Rabbi Yehuda holds that Dov Shem Miskaven is usher. The Gemara says, brisa follows Rabbi Yehuda, and it's mutter to place the mat over the beehive only when he leaves enough room for the bees to escape, and therefore he's not trapping it. Taka is not enough that he doesn't have in mind to catch the bees. Ravashi says that brisa is only talking about taka when there is real honey, not just those two combs. The real honey in the hive, and that's why. So it's not muksa. And when it says uvigashamim ipneagashamim, it means in the sort of the spring and the fall months where there is heat, but there is also rain. So it's not winter, like we said before. There is no honey. No, there's a time always when there is honey. That's the only way you can do it because taka wouldn't be muksa. Rav Sheisha says Rav Huna holds a Rabbi Yitzchak that you can't move a keli for something which is muksa, and we see that by Rav Huna, because Rav Huna's case is where there's a mace lying out in the sun, you're not allowed to put up a canopy with beds or whatever it is so that to hold it up so that it should shade the mace. But you are allowed to do it if there are live people there who are not muksa. You can do it for them, and then they can move away. So anyway, you see the fact that they can't do it for the mace, you can't move the keli for the mace. You see that you can't move the kalim for dover that is muksa. Rabbi brings a machlokes if a mace is lying in a bed in the sun. So Shmuel says you can just roll the mace from one bed to another until he's out of the sun. Rav says you should put a piece of bread or a child on the mace and carry the mace away. So the Gemara says Shmuel would agree that if a bread or a child is available, of course, that's preferable to do like Rav says, to put the child or the bread on the mace and move it. But if it's not, that's when you're allowed to roll the mace from one bed to another. But Rav says that he would not allow that. So if there's no bread or no child, you would not be allowed to move the mace at all. The machlokes in a braisa whether or not you're allowed to save a mace from a fire, so that it shouldn't get burned. The Tanakhama says you're not allowed to. Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish says you can. Maybe that's the same machlokes. Maybe he's talking about where you're moving it, like from bed to bed, and in that way, maybe that's the machlokes. The Gemara says no, it's not the same machlokes. Could be that everyone normally would agree that you're not allowed to move a mace, even in a different type of way. From bed to bed, etc. But Rabbi Yehuda Malakish over here allows the mace to be moved because he said if you don't allow it and to prevent the mace from being burned by the fire, the person may just go ahead and extinguish the whole fire to try to save his mace, and therefore we rather him move the mace in this roundabout way. Mar says Rabbi Yochanan paskins like Rabbi Yehuda Malakish. Misha said, Bryce says the oil is also even after the flame goes out, because since it was also made of shmushes, it was also for the whole Shabbos. So Shimon says once the flame goes out, the oil is mutter.